بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 8th of May in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the 26th blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan and I've reached verse 87 of Surah Nisa. So inshallah today going through up to and including verse 89. So verse 87. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no God but He. Of a surety He will gather you together on the day of judgment, about which there is no doubt, and whose words or whose hadith can be truer than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this blessed verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's mentioning something about the day of resurrection. And He says, لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. There is no doubt about the day of judgment, rayb. So now this word rayb means doubt. And it's used in some other very interesting passages. So for instance, in Surah 22, verse 5 to 7, in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 5 to 7, there's a beautiful passage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a nutshell, He's talking about the day of resurrection. And He says, Ya ayyuhan nasu in kuntum fi raybin min al-ba'd. O mankind, if you are in doubt about al-ba'd, either resurrection, He uses the same word, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you proofs to prove that there's a resurrection. He then says, consider that we created you out of dust, then out of a drop, then out of an alaqa, a clinging clot, then out of a mudra, a chewed morsel, مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرَ مُخَلَّقَةٍ partly formed and partly unformed لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ that we might show to you our power. So look how amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's saying if you have doubt about the resurrection, who's He addressing? He's not addressing the Muslims. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ O mankind, meaning we as Muslims have a responsibility to pass this message on. If you have raib, using the same word, doubt about the resurrection. Now all of the steps which Allah Ta'ala mentions at the time of revelation, this could not be proved. Did they know anything about a leash-like clot in the time of the Prophet? Of course not. Did they know anything about a mudra, a chewed where the sore mites are shown? Of course not. You need the most powerful microscope. So why is Allah Ta'ala mentioning this as a proof? Who is He talking to? He's talking to the people of today's day and age. If you are in doubt about the resurrection, the pagan Arabs didn't know what this was referring to. And then He says, from a morsel partly formed, partly unformed, why? لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ that we might show to you our power. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, from death you get life, and you can see this under the most powerful microscope. So what does He say? Because I'm showing to you my power. So what is the difficulty in me bringing you back to life again? This is the argument. And then it goes on in the whole beautiful verse. It continues, talks about the earth being brought back to life. But then in verse 7, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا And verily the hour will come, there is no doubt about it. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ And without doubt, Allah Ta'ala will raise up those in the graves. He says it again, no doubt. So He starts out by saying, are you in doubt about the resurrection? Then He gives you proof, which nobody can deny. Then He says at the end of the argument, there is no doubt about the day of resurrection. In Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 2, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ This is the book in which there is no doubt. The Quran, there is no doubt. It's qati, Qat'i means you deny any comma, dot, it takes you out of Islam. Everything from the Quran, from A to Z, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah goes, la riba fi. There is no doubt in this book. And what does he say it about here? About the day of judgment. Then at the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Whose can be a more truer hadith than Allah? Now this is actually a statement of fact. Why? Because what's the strongest of all the hadiths? It's the Quran. It's mutawatir. When you come to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the strongest of hadith is tawatir. But there's not many of the tawatir hadiths. But the whole of the Quran is tawatir. And who says it's tawatir? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Whose can be a more truer hadith than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Meaning the Quran is a gift given to you and is absolutely no doubt in any part of the Quran. And also a bit further on, in verse 122, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the wording slightly. And he says, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. And whose word can be truer than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So one verse he says haditha, the other verse he says qila, whose words, meaning whether it's a hadith or it's a saying. And also there's a phrase that the scholars use when they complete the Quran or a verse. They say sadaqallahu al-azim. So you hear this. Allah Ta'ala has spoken the truth. So why do they say that? What's the, you know, where's the proof for this? And actually it's the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says himself, qul sadaqallah. Say, sadaqallah. Say, Allah Ta'ala speaks the truth. Surah 3, verse 95. So what's strange is you get some brothers, and when you finish the Quran or you quote a verse, you go, sadaqallah wa lazim, because brother bidat. Right? And then you say, why is it a bidat, brother? Because there's no hadith mentioning it. And then you say, oh, the greatest hadith mentions it. Then the guy gets confused. He goes, the greatest hadith? I'm telling you, there's no hadith. Because the Quran mentions it. That's the greatest hadith. And then he goes, Allah Ta'ala says, Qul, who's he telling Qul to? To you. Qul sadaqallah. Allah Ta'ala speaks the truth. And then the verse continues. So note here, all of this can be deduced from this blessed verse. Verse 88. Why should you be divided into two parties concerning the munafiqs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has upset them for their deeds. Would you guide those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has thrown out of the way? For those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has thrown out of the way, neither shall you find the way. Or never shall you find the way. So who's being referred to here? Why was this verse revealed? So there's three reasons the hadith mentioned this verse was revealed. There's two narrations, they both have weakness. So the first is in Sa'id ibn Mansur. And it's the famous incident when Aisha was slandered, our mother, Sayyidah Aisha radiyallahu anha. When she was slandered, Rasulullah didn't receive revelation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he got the people together. And then he said, who will help me against the one who's harmed me and harmed my family? And in the famous hadith, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh gets up, radiyallahu anha. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, if he's from the Aus, my tribe, we will kill him. And if he is one of our brothers from the Khazraj, you give the order, we will kill him. Then Sa'd ibn Ubadah, who was the chief of the Khazraj, he stands up, he goes, oh Ibn Mu'adh, you have nothing to do with obeying the Messenger of Allah. You know full well he is not one of your people. So Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he gets angry. Because he realized Sa'd knows that the Munafiq is from his tribe. So Sa'd ibn Ubadah goes, you know full well he's not from your tribe. And he goes, your getting up isn't sincere. And then the report here mentions that Muhammad ibn Maslama, he stands up. And he says, O people, keep silent. Amongst you is Rasulullah, wherever he commands, we will listen. Upon this, Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. O believers, why are you in two parties regarding the munafiqs? So, what's interesting, in Bukhari and Muslim, this verse wasn't revealed. The incident is mentioned, but this verse wasn't revealed. In Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunnah, this verse was revealed. So this is one reason for the revelation of this verse, meaning don't side with the munafiqs. The second, again, he has a weakness. The hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he said that some Arabs, they came to embrace Islam, they came to Al-Madinah. When they embraced Islam, they were afflicted by a severe fever, and they started to leave Medina. So some of the companions approached them, because why are you leaving Al-Madinah? So they said, look, the fever struck us. The companion said, you have a beautiful example in Rasulullah. Why don't you just stay, follow his example? Then it says, some of the companions said, they're munafiqs. Others said, no, they are not munafiqs, they just misunderstand. Upon this, Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed this verse, i.e. verse 88. Why are you divided into two parties concerning the hypocrites? So this is the second reason mentioned. So the first reason is with regards to Aisha's slander, radiallahu anha. The second reason is some people came and they were leaving Al-Madinah despite the fact the Prophet was there. So Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. The third reason is the authentic reason, and I'm going to mention that in a bit. So now, why have I mentioned this here? Because sometimes you get a verse of the Quran, and there's many reasons why Allah Ta'ala has revealed this verse. So it's important to highlight what is the authentic reason for the revelation of this verse. So is it possible that all of these incidents caused the revelation of this verse? Yes, it is possible. It could have happened at the same time or near each other at the same time. But the authentic report mentions that this was just prior to the Battle of Uhud. So what happened? So this narration is recorded. Well, I'll mention the details here, inshallah. So this is recorded in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham, in his Sirah, Ibn Sa'ad, in his Tabaqat, Bayhaqi, in his Dalail, Musa, Ibn Uqbah, and others. When the Muslim force reached a place called Shawt. So where's Shawt? This is the Prophet's army, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shawt is now a sports training ground in Medina. Referred to Ayashi in his book Al-Madina Bain Al-Madi Wal-Hadir, page 369. But, Hafiz Waqid, he said, it is a place of retreat near the Sheikhain area. So it was near Uhud that a group of so-called Muslims left the Prophet. They broke off. Ibn Salul, the chief munafiq, he withdrew with 300 of the munafiqs. And his excuse was, he goes, no fighting's going to take place. He also said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed the opinion of young men. And those who have no sound opinion, he has ignored me. So why should we get killed? So let's look at this. So what happened? Rasulullah sets off with the army to deal with the Quraysh, unbelieving Quraysh, 3,000 strong force. 300 of his force were either munafiqs, but they had disease in their hearts. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he went initially with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he got to Shawt, he gave two reasons why he's not going any further. One is, he goes, I didn't want to fight outside. I told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should fight inside Medina. He didn't listen to me. So why should I go and get killed? That's one excuse he gave. The second is, he goes, oh, there's not going to be any fighting anyway. I don't think they're going to fight, so you don't need this anyway. So they broke off. So what happened? Some of the believers thought they should now deal with the hypocrites. Others said no. Upon which Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. Verse 88 of Surah Nisa. Why should you be divided into two parties about the hypocrites? In other words, they've shown their hypocrisy. Why are you showing a soft spot for them? This is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 1884. Sahih Muslim, number 6684. Tirmidhi, number 3039, etc. So this is the authentic reason why this verse was revealed. The munafiqs broke away to weaken the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Ta'ala was telling the believers, don't be in two minds with regards to the munafiqs. So what happened? To add details. When they withdrew, 300, one of the companions, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Haram radiyallahu, he went after them and he pleaded. He goes, I beg you in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do not dishonor your people and your prophet at a time when the enemy is bleeding upon us. They replied, if we knew there is going to be a fight, we wouldn't abandon you. But we don't see a fight taking place. When the argument arose, he finally cursed them. He goes, O enemies of Allah, may you be distant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quit of you, and so is his prophet. And the following verses were revealed. Aish Surat Ali Imran, Surat 3, verse 166 to 167. This is recorded in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham, in Isira. So look at the two verses. Surat 3, verse 166 to 167. And the translation. What befell you the day the two forces met at Uhud was by the will of Allah, in order he may know the true believers, and in order he may know those who are hypocrites. They were told, come fight in the way of Allah, or defend yourselves. They replied, if we knew there would be a fight, we would have followed you. That day they were nearer to kufr than they were to iman, uttering with their mouths what was not in their hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better informed of what they conceal. So Allah's revealed verses. And he goes, this is why this happened. Allah was purifying the army of filth. He wanted only the pure ones to be on the battlefield of Uhud. He wanted the munafiqs to leave. And Allah says something very interesting. They weren't all munafiqs. Because he says some of them were nearer to unbelief. If they were munafiqs, that doesn't make sense. So these two, in this 300, they were munafiqs. Pure munafiqs, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. But there was also people who had disease in their hearts. They got affected. So it's important not to say that they were all munafiqs, because the Quran is clearly hinting towards this. But a purification was taking place. So what happened? Another report, again recorded in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and others. Banu Salama of Khazraj and Banu Haritha of Aus, they were about to also break away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and fall back with the munafiqs. Had Allah the Almighty not put iman into their hearts and made them firm, thus he revealed, and this is in Surat Ali Imran, Surat 3, verse 122, when two of your groups were about to lose heart, Allah the Almighty was there, Wali, their protector. It is in Allah that the believers ought to place their trust. So let's look at this. So this breaking away of the munafiqs actually had a very negative impact on the believers. Two tribes, think about this, Banu Salama from the Khazraj and Banu Harith from Aus, they were about to break away. But then Allah the Almighty, what he says about them, I am their Wali, I made them firm with regards to their faith. This is why Jabir radiallahu anhu said something very interesting. He goes, I love this. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala said, I am your wali. So the Ansar weren't shy about this verse, because Allah Ta'ala says that he was looking after this. He implanted iman into our hearts, but it also shows that the effect of the munafiqs was having a great impact upon the companions. So all of this is helping to explain this passage of the Quran, i.e. the munafiqs. So now, why is this important to highlight? Because at Uhud, the only ones who eventually fought against the unbelieving Quraysh, they were all believers. Why is that important to highlight? Because no matter what happens on the battlefield, the battle was lost. Can we think ill of any of the believers? No. But you have to explain this. So they go, some of them, when they heard the Prophet's rumor that he passed away, they left the battlefield. Some retreated to Mount Uhud, some continued fighting. So before going to all this clarification, you have to explain what I've explained. There was no munafiqs on the battlefield. So for you to then interject and start saying, oh look, they showed their true colors. Who showed their true colors? Before the battle, Allah purified the believers. There was only believers on the battlefield. But unfortunately, people aren't studying Quran. So you go straight to the seerat, right? The next minute, you're making horrific blunders. Which Sahaba made mistake? Right? All of them were sound of belief, meaning this was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the verse. What does the verse say? Verse 88. Why should you be divided into two parts about the hypocrites? It's actually a hadith which is interesting in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Medina is Taybah. She expels filth, just as the billow expels rust from iron. This is the amazing hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the names for Medina is Taybah. And what's interesting, even in our part of the world, Taybah or Tayyibah means pure. So you can translate that to mean Medina is pure. So if Medina is pure, what does that mean? The Prophet explained. It's getting rid of the filth. Just like the heat takes away the rust from the eye. So what's interesting? Rasulullah is who made Medina. So wherever he was purified. He was getting rid of the filth. So what happened? Even before the Baal of Uhud, Allah Ta'ala purified him. Got rid of the filth. So what's interesting is the munafiqs think they're clever. But in actual fight, this was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't want munafiqs to fight on the battlefield. He wants them to go. So they actually hatched a plot. They go, no, he didn't listen to our advice. He went out, we wanted to fight inside. And it's not even going to be a fight, don't worry about it. Allah Ta'ala made them go back. Why? Because he was purifying. Meaning the battle had to be a pure battle. He wants sincere souls on the battlefield of Uhud. So now the verse continues. Allah Ta'ala upset them for their evil deeds. Would you guide those whom Allah Ta'ala has thrown out of the way? For those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has thrown out of the way, never shall you find the way. So now the policy. What was the policy of Rasulullah with the munafiqs? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The actual policy pursued avoided extremes. It was determined by these verses. So if somebody says to you, how did Rasulullah deal with the munafiqs? You have to read verse 88 up to verse 91 of this chapter. We're going to go through it inshallah. These are the verses that Allah Ta'ala told him how to deal with the munafiqs. It was clear that the munafiqs posed a huge threat even when they consulted. But whilst every caution was used, no extreme measures were taken against them. Think about that. Rasulullah didn't go to the extreme because they're all going to be killed when I go back to Al-Madina. On the contrary, they were given a chance of making up for their errors. If they made a sacrifice for the cause. Going to the next verse, verse 89. Allah Ta'ala says, if they flee in the way of Allah, I will forgive them. So Allah Ta'ala has given them a second chance. Saying, look, you made a mistake. Right? Make up for this in the next encounter or in the next campaign. Then that conduct would purge their previous error. But if they deserted the Muslim community again, they were then to be treated as enemies with the penalty of desertion which all nations inflict upon those who resort to treason. Even so, a humane exception was made in verse 90, which I'll get to. So simply put, you would have expected the Rasulullah to deal with the munafiqs on his return from Uhud, especially when 70 Sahaba were martyred in that battle. Why didn't he just take the sword and say, Allah, take all the munafiqs out? They betrayed us. Allah Ta'ala has revealed verses, the matter is clear. Because Allah Ta'ala is telling him what to do in these verses. He goes, give them another chance. Because human beings make mistakes. And this also proves they weren't all munafiqs. Like I mentioned, some of them did do tawbah, they come around. So this is one of the wisdoms why Allah Ta'ala is telling you, give them a chance. And that gives us great comfort. Why? Because we're not munafiqs, inshallah. Right? So if Allah Ta'ala is giving munafiqs chance, or those with severe disease, who even abandoned the Prophet, we should have great hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we resort, we go back, you know, we dust ourselves off, we ask forgiveness. That's why the word tawbah means to do a 180 degree turn. I have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is number one. Number two, the second thing is that Allah Ta'ala made an exception. There are some non-Muslims whom an exception is made for, i.e. in verse 90, which we'll get to. So verse 89, they but wish that you should reject faith as they do, and thus be on the same footing as they. Thus do not take awliya from their ranks until they flee in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they renegade again, seize them and slay them wherever you find them, and in any case take no awliya or helpers from their ranks. Look how the verse opens up when you go through the commentary. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? They want you to become unbelievers. That is their ultimate maqsad, intention. Do not take them as awliya, meaning don't bring them close to you, intimate. Now you need somebody to back you up, don't bring them that close. They are only amongst themselves like this. Then look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Look at the words he's using, subhanAllah. Hatta yuhajiru fi sabilillah, until they flee in the path of Allah. Now what does that mean? Hatta yuhajiru fi sabilillah, flee. The word hijra in Arabic comes from this word. Yuhajiru. But flee from what? Imam Bukhari comments here on a verse. He doesn't often comment on verses, but he comments here. Imam Bukhari said, fleeing from the haram. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until they flee in the path of Allah, it means they turn away from the haram, according to Imam Bukhari. Then he goes, I will undo the harm that they've done. But if they turn renegade again, seize them, slay them wherever you find them. In any case, do not take وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ وَلِيُّ وَلَا نَصِيرًا. Do not take them as friends or helpers. So Allah Ta'ala goes, give them a second chance. If they do it again, then you're going to show harshness. And that's why later on in Surah Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala reveals verses, be hard upon the munafiqun. Why? Because they've been given the opportunity. Be hard upon the munafiqun. In fact, Umar radiallahu anhu once actually said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me kill Abdullah ibn Ubay. Let me kill him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people will ignorantly think that Muhammad kills his companions. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened? He didn't give the order. And then the long report in Bukhari, eventually, the people themselves, his own son, imagine, the chief hypocrite's own son, because Ya Rasulullah, I can't bear anybody killing my father. So you give me permission, I'll kill him. And that way I won't need to look at people who've killed my father. So in Ibn Hibban Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, show goodness to your father. Allahu Akbar, think about that. When people say, my father's off his head, he doesn't deserve my respect. Have you heard that statement? My father's off his head. Is he Abdullah ibn Ubay? Chief Munafiq, right? You can't get worse. He's worse than Shaitan. The Quran goes, the Munafiqs go to the lowest hellfire. He's the chief of them. What did Rasulullah say to his son? Surely he's an exception to the rule. Surely Allah Ta'ala is going to tell his beloved, look, he's a chief hypocrite, even the son. Spit on him, disrespect him, kill him. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Show goodness to him. So the scholars say, look at the lessons we're taking from this, right? In other words, even if they're the scum of the earth, your father's the scum of the earth. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Even if he's the scum of the earth, you still show respect to him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu anhu, because if I had told you to kill him earlier on, this would have caused problems. Now, he goes, don't you see the wisdom? Even his own son is giving, wanting to kill him. So Nord, his power had gone. And what's interesting, especially after the Battle of Uhud, before the Battle of Uhud, Abdullah ibn Ubay had a position. He's very handsome, very strong, he had a large entourage, people followed him, very eloquent. And he would introduce the Prophet to the masjid. He'd enter the masjid, he goes, Rasulullah is about to enter, please take your seats. And after Uhud, he actually did that. Imagine, after betraying the Prophet, he gets up. And one of the Sahaba grabs him and goes, sit down, O enemy of Allah. He goes, how can you have even have the, you know, the audacity to stand up and say this? Sit down. So what's happening? His power is fading. So Allah Ta'ala is showing to you that look, who really has the izzah? It's Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also there's a hadith, the hadith is in Tabarani. Hani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the best muhajir is the one who leaves the haram. Because she asked, who is, you know, where is the hijrah, Ya Rasulullah? How, you know, what is hijrah? Because the best hijrah is to turn away from the haram. Meaning you don't even need to leave your home, birthplace. If you leave the haram, this is the best hijrah. So note, the Prophet was highlighting this verse. Allah Ta'ala says, Hatta yuhajiru fi sabilillah. Until they flee to the path of Allah, so, meaning the path of guidance and correction. And with regards to the exception, I'll mention that tomorrow. Verse 90 talks about an exception. There was somebody that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that you do have a special softness for. But that's mentioned in the next verse, inshallah. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahu la ilaha illahu. ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه ومن أصدق من الله حديثا فما لكم في المنافقين فئتين والله أرقصهم بما كسبوا أتريدون أن تهدوا من أضل الله ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ حَتَّى يُهَاجِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. We pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He makes the Qur'an the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently ordered. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل الإنسان الذي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.